Hello, friends. I'm your host, Annette Weiser, and with me today is someone you know well, a very important journalist in town, St. Pete Catalyst, and we are very proud at Radio St. Pete to air his provocative Arts Alive interviews every week. I want to welcome Bill DeYoung to the studio.
Oh, you know how important I am, Annette. Thank you for thank you very much.
Well, Bill, you have been really busy, and I do, before we get into this interview about your Scrooge character in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the vintage St. Pete. I think you have a new one coming out.
Yeah, we're starting to put together volume 4, and each of these books has 20 stories. So this is, I don't know how many, well, it'll be 80, I suppose. I'm actually working on the last two stories that are going to come out live in the Catalyst very soon, and then we have enough for the book. So we're sort of in the early stages of putting that together.
Well, you know, I don't know how you do it, but I understand a little bird, maybe Tiny Tim told me, that you're going to be Scrooge in the City Theater, St. Pete City Theater, as they celebrate 100 years in a radio Christmas Carol. Tell me about this.
Yeah, how about that? Well, you know, I've done a little bit of acting before, bad acting, I guess we should say. But I know Mike Naur, who's directing this for St. Pete City Theater, and his wife, Sarah. They've been friends of mine for a number of years. And I just kind of got the, hey, why don't you come out and audition for this? And I haven't really done anything in a while. So I'm okay, I will. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, it's a sort of a pretend radio broadcast from 1942, I think it is, which is kind of the way it went with St. Pete City Theater. They actually did A Christmas Carol as a WSUN live radio broadcast. And so it's kind of an homage to that in a way. It's very, very cool.
So it's kind of like a play within a play, in the sense that you're not just playing the character of Scrooge, you're also playing the gentleman who played the character of Scrooge. Did I get that right?
Yeah, yes, yeah. It's actually not all that confusing. The beginning of the show is we are all actual real people who lived here and worked at St. Pete City Theater, which was called the St. Petersburg Little Theater in the day. We have a dramaturg who's Stephanie Lehman, who did a lot of research into who was around in the theater in those days. And so we're all playing actual real people, kind of setting up to do this thing. The good thing about the radio broadcast for actors like me, so important, right, is that it's scripted. So I don't have to put on the stocking cap and pretend to be Scrooge and all terrified at the ghosts of Christmas and all of that. I'm reading at a microphone. So, in other words, the early part of the show is us as real people setting up for the radio broadcast. And then it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we go to our microphones and read it as if we're, you know, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and Dorothy Lamour, Francis, whatever her name was, Francis. Who was that singer? Francis, who was, anyway, with Bob Hope back in the day. Francis Langford. I know this is really stupid, Nana, but thanks for letting me go there. So we're standing there like those people at microphones and putting on Christmas Carol as an audio play, as theater of the mind, as some people call it. So I voice Scrooge, but I don't have to be Scrooge.
You know, I actually used to love CBS Mystery Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting because I know that you have also, haven't you also done the studio at 620? Radio.
We just recently did one, and that's a lot of fun. And this is very much the same thing as that, except it doesn't have the sort of, you know, prelude in the actual recording studio, which is, we're not doing scripts. We're actually those people chatting to each other and giving each other a hard time over various things. And but yeah, it's very much like the radio theater project, which we do at the Studio 620.
Tell me a little bit about what got you started. You know, I know that you're a musician. I know that you're a writer. I know that you're a journalist, and, you know, you've done books, and you just did a talk on Phil Gerhardt, which you had done a wonderful book, which you updated. But tell me a little bit about your theater chops, because, you know, every time I turn around, there's another version of you.
Well, I don't know. I think chops may be overstating it a little bit. But first, I'll tell you, the first play I was ever in, here we go, 1970. 5 at Gibbs High School, which is my alma mater, I was the lead in Finian's Rainbow, this really cheesy World War II era musical. And that was the first play I was ever in. I played Finian, actually the Fred Astaire character, if anybody remembers that terrible movie they made out of it. I lived in Gainesville for many years. I did a couple of plays there. I was, you know, working for the newspaper there. And then when Amy and I moved to Savannah, where we lived for 6 years before we came back here in 2014, we were both part of a repertory company up there and did a lot of shows. I did Frost Nixon, where I played Richard Nixon. I did To Kill a Mockingbird, where I played Atticus Finch. We did Angels in America Part 1, where I was the odious Roy Cohn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the bug's always been there kind of under my skin. But as you said, I'm pretty busy, and so I do it when I can. And this, I like the idea of doing this, and I'll tell you why I do theater. You know, that sounds so haughty, doesn't it, why I do theater. I like to make things with people. I like to collaborate as part of a team, because so much of the work that I do is very solitary. Sitting here, as I am speaking to you, with a keyboard and a monitor in front of me. And when you're involved in the theatrical production, you go to the theater, you all create it together at the same time. In other words, nobody is better or more important or takes precedent more than the next person. We're all the same, and we all have a common goal of making this product as good as possible. I'm slightly socially awkward. I don't really do well in groups, which is why I don't go to a lot of parties and social events. This is kind of my way of socializing, and these are wonderful people too in this cast at SPCT. Guess I got that right. SPCT. They're wonderful, and I'm having a wonderful time.
Have you performed there before?
You know, I got to tell you, I in 2017, I got involved. They used to do a big stage production of A Christmas Carol, directed by the wonderful David Middleton. And I, it was the same thing. I want to meet some new people. I went and they cast me as the ghost of Christmas Present, you know, with the children under his robes,
the little orphan, right? The starving orphan, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry?
The starving orphans.
The starving orphans, want and ignorance. Yeah, so I was that guy, and that was the only time I did it. And then I did a few things in later years at the Gulfport Community College, which is where I met Mike and Sarah and David Warner. We sort of travel, and David, being a journalist too, we travel in the same circles. I see him at a lot of various things that I go to. So yeah, I've done a little bit in St. Pete, but nothing to the level of what I did in Savannah.
Well, listen, we're very lucky. This is going to be we're going to be airing this on Radio St. Pete, a rehearsal. I want to ask you about Scrooge.
Sure.
What can we learn? I think actually this is a very modern play. That's a very old play. What is it that Scrooge can tell us to help inform us on how we should be in this day and age?
I think, you know, this is 19th century. Dickens wrote this very long time ago. And so, you know, the religious connotations are certainly there. I'm not a religious person myself, so I kind of understand that he really is a lot of his bluster. Scrooge is a miser in all those things. It was tight with money and kind of a jerk and self-obsessed and all these things that he is. But I think a lot of it is just a sort of a wall he puts up to keep people away. You find out that when these three ghosts sort of take him around and show him how he is, the wall starts to come down reasonably quickly. He's still humbugging his way through the whole thing, but you start to see cracks in the veneer. And I think that whether you sort of believe in the whole, you know, religious Christmas story, or you just think it's a fun time to hang out with family and eat a lot, there's always something to learn there about how you treat other people and how you interact with other people. I think that's the lesson. I hope that answers the question you asked.
No, you did. And, you know, I'm just still terrified by Carol Kane and the Ghost of Christmas Future. What was your favorite Christmas Carol? Was it the one with Bill Murray?
No,
that was amusing?
It's, It's the one with a guy called Alastair Sim. It's British. I think it was 1951. Alastair Sim is considered by many to be, the sort of quintessential Scrooge. He's really funny in the right places and kind of a nasty guy in all the right places. There's a moment in that film that stayed with me all these years. The first apparition to appear to Scrooge is the ghost of Jacob Marley, his long dead business partner. And Marley, after he died, kind of came, I don't know how you say this, came to realize that he was a miser and kind of a jerk and business minded, just like Scrooge was, but he came to see the error of his ways a bit too late. And he's sort of tortured for all eternity in, reliving his past misdeeds. He comes to Scrooge and he says, Ebenezer, you must learn these lessons. He tells him the ghosts are coming. But there's a moment in this film where Scrooge says, why should I believe you? And Marley's ghost just lets out this scream. And he's rattling his chains and he sees all these locked boxes and ledgers or everything's made of steel. He drags it around. He rattles this thing and he just wails. And even today, it's really scary. And it really sets the stage for what's to come. It's a great version. This film is a great version of this story.
It is also my favorite, and also David Warner, who we also will be talking to for this story. I just have to say, I think that this is a great moral play for our time, and I hope that
Sure.
everyone will enjoy seeing you. Are you kind of practicing your Scrooge voice? Can you give us a taste of your Scrooge voice?
Oh, I don't want to give it away, honestly. It was hard for me because every once in a while I'd slip into sort of a Monty Python-esque voice, and I'd have to say, no, that's not it, Bill. But it's rascally and very old, and Scrooge was probably not that much older than I am right now, actually, but I don't talk like that. You got to hear the show, I got to tell you.
Well, absolutely. And we look forward to seeing you, Bill, as Scrooge. And we can't wait to see A Christmas Carol at the St. Petersburg City Theater, December 12th through the 21st. Thank you so much, Bill. We'll be catching you on Arts Alive on Radio St. Pete.
Ned, it's been an absolute pleasure. Take care of yourself.
You rascally devil, you take care of yourself, too.
Right you are.